call a grasshopperette. Grasshopperette. That was a good story. Y'all ready to have some church? Come on, stand on your feet. We got welcome to those watching live stream to our Wednesday family night. It's wet outside. Hallelujah, but it's warm on the inside. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We're singing, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We're singing, oh, blessed be. Come on, say, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Well, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We're singing, oh. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Everybody say, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. We're singing Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock, blessed be of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. We're singing Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Come on and bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name tonight. You're worthy of all the praise. You're worthy of all the glory. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art in heaven and earth. I'll say, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art in heaven and earth. Come on and say, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art in heaven and earth. Say it again, say, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art in heaven and earth.
He created heaven.
He created heaven and earth.
The moon and the stars.
The moon. He made the rain.
taught. He made the blind to see. He created you and me. Oh, say how great thou art. How great thou art.
How great thou art in heaven and earth.
Come on and say. Let's say he is great. Oh, come on and say he is great. He is great. He is great. He is great. Come on, say it again. You are so great. He is great. He is great. You are great. Come on, say. Sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Can I say that one? Then sings my soul. How great thou art, how great
deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. Oh, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great.
Deserve the glory. Truly, there is no one else like you. And we honor you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your greatness. You truly are great. You do miracles so great. You woke us up this morning. Started us on our way. Kept us safe from all hurt, harm, or danger in our right minds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Provide for us. Thank you, Lord, that we have a place to live, roof over our heads, food to eat, clothes to wear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We honor you tonight. Thank you for everyone that is here in person, those that are watching online. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We give you praise tonight. Bless each one. Bless every heart. Give hope to the hopeless, healing to those who are sick. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're fighting for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are working everything out for our good. Jesus. Hallelujah. We trust you. We trust you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. We trust you tonight. In Jesus' name. Be with us for the furtherance of this time. In your name we pray. And everyone said amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. Come on, take a moment and go greet a few people. Just tell them I love you with the love of the Lord. Let's believe together, heart and soul. One, two. How's everybody doing on this wet Wednesday? Man. One verse, just one verse, wet Wednesday. Well, I thought tonight that, before I get started, I want to remind everyone that next Wednesday, James, you... That ain't you, James? I just want to remind everybody that next week, next Wednesday, the 15th, we're going to have a Valentine's Fellowship here. So we probably will just go straight to the fellowship hall, and we won't have any praise. It's just going to be fellowship, so we'll just go in there. We'll have some games. If we have now, we have more people, because I think we're going to have some food, some ribeyes and stuff. I'm just kidding. But we have something back there. Huh? Way to go. Yeah. Thanks to Gary. Thanks to Gary Tarver Enterprises.
they'll have some games and stuff. But if we need overflow room, we'll just go ahead and come in here. But just come prepared to fellowship, right? Because fellowship is good. Amen. So it'll be fun. And all right. Was I going to say something else? Y'all ready to go into the Bible study? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say. How many of you know what the memory verse is for this month? Hide the word memory verse. Because that's where we're going to go tonight. So John 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, someone asked me, I think it was Janet Jackson, was asking, isn't it John 16 and 33? But that was last month. We're doing one new verse every month. What was last month? Was it John? John 16:33 was last month. And then this month is John 13, verse 34 and 35. And so that... Email was on... Yeah, it's... Yeah. And we announced it Sunday. Okay. It's hard to find good help sometimes. Yeah. And just want to remind everybody about this Sunday. Y'all know what this Sunday is? Intercultural Sunday. Going to dress in... / Super Bowl Sunday. How many of y'all gonna watch the Super Bowl? How many of you don't care at all? Oh, the national anthem. What's the guy's name? Yeah, Chris Stapleton. Yeah, yeah. That brother can sing. All right. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. A new commandment. So I have some questions coming up, but here's the first question. What was the old? If there was a new, there's an old. So let's make sure that we all understand what the old commandment was. And turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. So Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. So what was the old commandment? Matthew 22, I'm going to read verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now the lawyer didn't ask for this one, but Jesus just threw this in for free. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor how? Okay. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Okay, so now he was quoting the law and the prophets. The law, really, Leviticus 19. Let me just read it. Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance. Should not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Okay. So that was the old commandment. But John 13, verse 34 and 35, is the new commandment. Now, there's a big difference, right? Would you say that there's a difference between loving your neighbor as yourself and loving your neighbor as God loves you? Would you say that loving your neighbor as yourself, it would be kind of conditional? I mean, it's conditioned upon the degree to which you love yourself. And some people don't, they just don't love themselves. So that means you ain't getting no love. If they ain't giving no love to themselves, you ain't getting none. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So in this instance, Jesus came, really, he corrected or fine-tuned, right? Because the thought of loving your neighbor as yourself is you're not going to do, well, a person in their right mind wouldn't abuse themselves and do things to hurt themselves, right? So that was the whole idea. Treat people, you know, do unto others as you would do unto yourself. That was the whole idea of love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? But still flawed. So Jesus said, let's tell you what. Since you're having a hard time with that, then love your neighbor as I have loved you. Well, okay. Woo! So now here's the question. How did Christ love us? Or how does Christ love us? Anybody? Anything. He gave himself. He gave himself. What else? What else kind of comes out? Walking in humility and humbleness. Yeah. He loves us in spite of ourselves. So his love has really nothing to do with what we do. It's unconditional. A couple of things that I have, and feel free to jump in, a couple of things that I have. You know, when we think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Loving like Christ means giving sacrificially. God sacrificially gave his Son. Jesus sacrificially gave his life. In terms of today, how we apply that today, what we have, we're not going to literally lay down our lives for somebody else. But we can sacrifice. That kind of sacrificial giving includes, you know, time, money, possessions. We give people what they need when it is within our power to do so. Right? You really... You really don't have to be led to meet somebody's need. Love automatically leads you to do that. You know? So you stand in there, you see somebody in need, you stand in there saying, God, I'm gonna wait for you to speak to me. Well, he already spoke to you. Love that person like I have loved you. What would I do to you? What would I do for you in that instance? Would I walk away? No. Wouldn't. You know, we think about this, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians, I didn't even think about going here, but 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. You know, verse 7 talks about giving grudgingly and being a cheerful giver or giving bountifully. And then verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So sacrificial giving means whenever we see the opportunity to do a good deed, we do it. Right? Another thing is God's love does not discriminate in any type of way. In other words, we love the sinner just as much as we love the saint. Right? And here's another one. His love, he didn't tolerate sin. He loved the sinner. He loved everybody, but he didn't tolerate the sin. He loved enough to tell them the truth. He loved them enough to warn them, challenge them, teach them, and forgave them all the way to the cross. Lord, forgive them, for they know not. They still don't get it. Some of them still don't. They don't know what they do. So, but he was a loving God. You know, sometimes, I don't know, I feel like groups, whatever, they accept a certain part of Christ, but not another. And any parent is going to love their children, no matter what they do. They're going to love them, but they're not going to just let them do anything. They're not going to accept anything. And when they get to the age of accountability, even after that, they still may make choices that are against what the Word of God says, or what you as a parent, but you still love them. You know, so yeah, God is a loving God, but listen, He's not just sitting back and say, okay, since everybody likes to do that, all right, I'm cool with it. No, it doesn't work that way. What do we come to church for? We come to church to worship God. We come to church to submit our lives to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has standards, He has rules. He doesn't just accept anything and everything just because everybody. Not everybody, a majority of the population thinks it's okay. And don't give me this, the church doesn't love like Christ. Are you kidding? He's not accepting everything. So He loves us enough to show us where we have done wrong, where we need to, but he doesn't throw us out. He loves us. So there's really a fine balance in the love of Christ, and that's how we have to love. We don't reject people. We're not throwing people, oh, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Oh, you know you're going to hell. No, we don't have a hell to send anybody. All we can do is love them. You say, you know what? According to the Word of God, you know, that goes against the Word of God. Love you. You know, and I'd be less of a friend to if I told you anything different. Yeah. All right. Anybody else have any other ways that Christ loves us? Get another microphone. Give me number two. One, two. Here we go.
Well, I get the mic.
Somebody else might have something to say.
I think we sometimes get casual when we do wrong, not love somebody or the sin. That is an affront to God. Yeah. It stinks in His nostrils. It's just like somebody would cut one loose and we'd step. That's what God does. It's not good. I mean,
I don't even know if I can forgive you for that one.
I'm just saying, it stinks in the nostril of God, right? Yeah. So when you don't love someone, which he is a loving God, he kind of looks at your side a little bit. I love him, and you should love him just like I sent you the very best I had. So no, there's no little views or little eyes. It's all level at the cross. So
it's true. It's true. Anybody else? Well, another way that Christ loves us is in how he forgave us continues to forgive us. And fully. Second Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So he came to totally redeem us, give us a clean slate of redemption, a do-over. Okay, now listen, as if we had never sinned. And I just think about that for a second. Just think about it. As if we had never sinned. God didn't send his son to die for our sins to then turn around and remind us of what we did. There is no remembrance of that. So much so that when you bring it up, God, I can't, you remember what I did? No, I don't. He don't remember. He chooses. Right? And so, there are consequences to our sin. The wages of sin is death. There are consequences to our sin, but that is the fruit of our sin. That's not God's punishment. In other words, if you rob a bank or commit murder, you gonna go to jail. Just because you ask God to forgive you, the police are still coming after you. Okay? If you commit fornication, adultery, there's a great possibility that you may have a child. That is the fruit of your sin. But that's not God punishing you. That's the consequences. Okay? But Jesus, because he's our advocate with the Father, so Jesus nor God is after we have repented and asked God to forgive us. I'm talking about the Psalm 51. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Lord, just give me a clean heart. I was wrong. David is pleading with God. When we come to God like that, and he accepts our forgiveness, the next day he's not side-eyeing us. He's not holding us at arm's length saying, I just need some time, to get over what you did. Y'all know I'm setting you up, right? He doesn't do that. The next day, he wakes you. Hey, let's go. Let's go get it. Let's go conquer. Let's go be more than conquerors. No, I can't. Can't believe I did that. Did what? That's what God has did what? So, now, our responsibility is to, if we're going to love like Christ, we have to forgive like Christ. I mean, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, then I'm not going to. What's the story? Y'all know the story in the Bible about the man who owed somebody money, right? And he just pleaded with that man, the master, and the master forgave him. And then somebody else owed him money now, and he just, nope, slave, whatever. And that master tore him up. how in the world, how dare, and that's sort of how God is looking at us. How in the world can you, even try to not forgive somebody after all I have forgiven you? All right. So, yeah, when I said, y'all know where I'm going, Tim, I said, yeah, because that's exactly what we do. And here's the thing, and this is difficult. This is difficult because when someone, watch this, when someone hurts us, there are two things that we do, that we decide. Two things we decide. Number one, they will never hurt me again. I won't give them the opportunity. All right? And number two, I want them to know. They got to pay penance. Is that the right word? They got a penance, right? So here's a question. Where does turn the other cheek come in? What does that mean? So somebody hurts you, and you say, they come and they repent. They go, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Well. Whatever. Every response that you can think of that you would give like that is not Christ-like. That's not the forgiveness of Christ. That's not the love of Christ. And so it's not, listen, when Gary does me wrong, when he, Gary, just come up and slap me. Just come up and slap me. I'm like, no. when Gary does me wrong, it's not my place to try to punish him for what he did. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So whatever payment he is going to get for slapping the man of God, and he deserved, no, I'm just kidding. It doesn't come from me. Here's what will just totally make Gary go crazy is when I come to him and say, hey, man, let's go have lunch. Let's hang out. And in his mind, he's saying, did he forget that I slapped? Now, listen, he said, what you feeding me? Oh, I got something for you. It's not my responsibility to punish him. It is my responsibility to love him like Christ loved me and to forgive him. Now, I'm trying to preach you the word. Is it difficult? Yes. You can't do that without the Spirit of God, without the help of God. I just in our, you know, if you drive around Owosso, you see these banners. They're called character banners, and right now the word is tolerance. And so in our city council meeting last night, someone spoke on tolerance, and as a part of their sharing, they shared a story. And I don't have the names or anything, but here's the scenario. There was this, I'll just say there was this sort of priest or man of God who would every morning would walk from his place and go down to a river and just get in the water and sort of just bathe and all that. But there was this person that was determined to make this man react, because he was known to love everybody, and he would never, you know, say, I mean, he was just, you know, like that. And so initially when this priest, we'll just say it was a monk, I don't know who he was, but he was some kind of a spiritual man. when he would walk by, this man would cuss at him and do all kind of stuff. And the man would just look at him and smile. And he would go on down to the river. And the more that this man, you know, cussed at him and all of that, then the man, you know, would not react, the angrier he got. So then he started throwing stuff at him. And he hold her back, hold her back. Because this man, he had like a white robe that he wore. And this man got trash and would throw it on him and just like garbage and food and stuff. And it would, you know, and so what happened was when he did that, the man went and washed and came back. And when he came back, after he had cleaned, you know, washed in the river, the man would do it again. And he went and washed again. And this happened like 18 times. And the man never reacted. Look, I'm just looking at some of y'all.
Yeah, that would have been with me.
First of all, the first day the man cussed, some of y'all would be, well, God bless you in Jesus' name.
You know, yeah.
But what happened was, is that, you know, what the Bible says, what does it say about, yes, heaping coals on somebody. Just it got to this man so much that it changed his life. This man walking in forgiveness, literally, daily. And this man came to him and said, "I'm so sorry. What is it?" He said, and the man basically said, "Well, you were doing what you wanted to do, and I chose to do what I wanted." A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another in the same manner that I have loved you. You know, the last thing I'll say about this whole forgiveness thing is if we want things to be the same between us and God after we mess up and repent, if we want things to be the, you know, like they were, you know, that's what David was saying in Psalm 51. Listen, I want things to be like they were. My sin has made me feel alienated from you. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I miss that closeness, and God is always ready to restore us like that. That's the grace and long suffering of God. We don't deserve that, but He gives that to us. And if we want that, we have to be willing to give that to our brothers and our sisters and everyone. You know? Anybody have something they want to add?
Talk louder.
Look, you ain't got to yell. We want to make sure everybody hears, especially those who are online.
Okay.
So.
All right, I got you. So what I said was, it's a choice.
Yeah. I I don't know. I mean, did I say that? Well, let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper. Is it really a choice when we're truly walking in the love and spirit of God? Is it truly something that we have to choose to do? Or is it something that really should be a part of us? You know what I mean? So, yeah, obviously, we do have to make a choice. But that choice should be much easier the more submitted to God we are. Yes. Because then it's not us. Because we can't do it in our own flesh. You still got the microphone?
The choice is... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
hear you. Okay. The choice is made ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. The choice you're choosing to forgive even before it happens, that's...
Yeah. Huh? You can't hear? They can't hear at all? Oh, I'm sorry.
What happened?
When the people in the audience are talking, they can't hear.
Oh.
Okay. Well, make sure y'all talk loud. All right. What she was saying was, now, but the gist of it is that you have to choose that you're going to love. In that moment, though, the Holy Spirit has to take, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that helps you. We have the Holy Spirit is our helper. Our helper. You know, sometimes you just got to step back and say, Lord, you got to help me now. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, here's the last. Pass that microphone up. So God has to help us. All right. Here's the last thing. The last verse says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have this kind of love, that kind of love, one for another. So our Christ-like love, I wrote this down, our Christ-like love for one another is the best marketing strategy for the kingdom of God, for Christianity. People are looking at how we love one another. And I just have to say, sometimes we don't do a good job representing the true love of Christ. Okay?
Sometimes isn't love misrepresented? I mean...
Misrepresented?
Yeah. Because what I don't feel, if you... respond to me a different way, I don't feel loved, so to speak. So that's, in their mind, a different definition of love. And I believe that's why Christ brought this up, the way I loved you.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't know what that really is. But even if they don't know how Christ loved, they're still going to be lost, so to speak. Because the phrase tough love,
yes,
that we use, it's not really to hurt them, it's to try to help them to get through. And sometimes when you don't help them, they feel abused, correct? Or they don't get what they want.
Yeah.
Because some people can take that to say someone's on drug or something.
Sure.
And they want the money for this and that.
Right.
And you say, no, well, you don't love me. Well, yeah, I do. More than you love yourself is probably what you're really trying to tell them. So.
Well, here's the thing. Well, one of the, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, and I said it, is one of the misconceptions about the love of God is that he accepts any and everything, and he doesn't. He's a holy God, and everything that he was not cool with, back in Genesis through Revelations, guess what? He's still not cool with it. He's still the same God. So he's always been a loving God. He told Adam and Eve, listen, eat all you want, except, and wouldn't you know it, they went for that. Right? So there were consequences to that. Okay? But so in the same manner, we have to use wisdom in dealing with people and various things when they sin against us or when they want to. We have to be honest. I love you. But I also want you to understand this. This is what the Word of God says concerning that. Okay? So as far as that's concerned, you and I are not in agreement. Well, it's really not you not agreeing with me. It's you not agreeing with the Word of God. Okay?
God sends no one to hell.
Mm-mm.
The invitation has been extended, and you just rejected it, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Whosoever will, let him come.
For God so loved the world that he gave him, that whosoever believeth in him.
Right.
Yeah. God's not sending anybody to hell. You packed your own bags.
First class.
All right. This is good. So we have a responsibility, commandment. And this is one of those things where if there are repercussions if we don't. If we're not willing to give the same love that Christ gives to us, then now we have to deal with the master. Amen. It's good stuff. I could talk with y'all all night, but I'm not. Any other comments before we close? Yeah. Yes. You know, I'm glad you said that. That's so important that we realize that it's not a feeling. Think about, you know, why would Christ just weep bitterly and cry out to God in the garden if he felt like going to the cross for your sins, for our sins? But he did it. Who wants to go to the cross? Who wants to be crucified? Nobody. Ooh, yay! Mm-mm. But yet he was wounded for our transgressions. You know? So that's a very good point. Very good point. But when we do it, we are the better for it. There is a blessing on the other side of that, on the other side of our obedience, on the other side of our love. Amen? Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we would all agree that this is not something that is easy unless we truly understand the importance of surrendering totally to you. Our wills, our emotions. We have to surrender all of that to you. And you know, it's not based on feelings, which means that sometimes it hurts to love. It hurts because it goes against our flesh. It goes against our earthly nature. It's natural in the flesh to want to retaliate, but that's not your love. So God, help us daily to surrender to you and to really love others in the same way that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now y'all get out of here. Love y'all so much. Look forward to seeing you Sunday. I pray that many of you will join in the Intercultural Sunday, and if not, just come anyway. We're going to have an awesome time. Going to share on love some more, I think. We'll see. Yeah, you are. Okay. Lift your hands. I'm sorry. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you.